Congressman, how are you?
Tony, I am doing well. Always good to hear your voice.
Same with you. Where are you this morning?
I am just getting ready to go into a series of meetings on Afghanistan and Pakistan and the intelligence.
Well, give us the latest. It looks like, as someone who's just standing back and looking at all the news reports, it looks like the world is waiting for these rebels, if you will, to overtake Muammar Gaddafi, and then the world community could step in and help those people. But your hands are tied as far as what you can do right now.
Well, I wish we had done a no-fly zone a little earlier. We should have had, I wish we had done something to protect the chemical weapons sites. They're still under the control of troops loyal to Muammar Gaddafi. But other than those kinds of things, I think it's degrading pretty quickly into civil war. The rebels have just expelled the government troops out of a major city along one of the port cities. And so it is getting uglier by the day. And I do believe it is not if, I think it's when the government troops fall, which is those loyal to Muammar Gaddafi.
It looks like the United States is also in a precarious position because over the years our country has supported that regime.
Well, I can't say supported. We back in 2003, right around the invasion of Iraq, Libya called up the U.S. government and said, "Hey, we don't want to be next. We were willing to give up our nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons." And they did. They gave us, and we have a lot of it, is in the custody of the United States, especially on the nuclear front. And chemical stockpiles were still there and in the process. Matter of fact, I was there a few years ago trying to negotiate the expedited incineration of chemical weapons. And, boy, I sure wish we'd have gotten done a little faster today. And so to say that we've been cooperating or supporting, I can't say is accurate. He has always been a thorn in our side. We did try to get better relations, and that was one of the deals that we gave to give up his nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons program.
Well, by support, can I say that we buy oil for them and we have business interests there? As a matter of fact, there were United States citizens who were living and working there.
Yeah, that was, again, part of the deal to get his nuclear, chemical, and biological weapon program shut down. So as part of that deal, prior to that, you couldn't do business there. It was not legal to do business there. After that, there was a thawing. It wasn't complete, but a thawing of relations that included the possibility of having business permits done there and those kinds of things.
From what you know, what can the United States do now? What are we doing now beyond the implementing the no-fly zone?
Well, I mean, I would continue to support the rebel troops. I think that's the right answer. We need to make sure that, and I argue that we ought to do an aggressive leaflet and psychological campaign to let the government troops know that firing on innocent civilians will be treated as a war crime. I mean, we can set the stage for this to end sooner if we're aggressive about how we do that, in fact. And I argue we are going to have to do something on that chemical weapons site to make sure that and it's mustard gas, it's really old but dangerous stuff, gets out into the population. I think there are some things we can do there.
But do we have evidence that he is killing his people?
Well, in the beginning, there was clear evidence that he had strafed civilian populations, and we think there's somewhere over the 1,000-person death that were not armed and not engaged in combat against the government troops. So we do think that he did, in fact, shoot civilians. And I argue he should be treated for war crimes. That is clearly a crime against humanity when you kill innocent protesters for the sheer sake of trying to gain control of your government.
Can you tell me about the House bill that averts a shutdown of the government but is just a short-term plan?
Yeah, we got an agreement. It's several billion, $4 billion in cuts for the next 2 weeks to the president's budget, and it gives us a little breathing room so we can continue to negotiate. And you know, as you and I have talked about several times, you know, the weight of the debt and the deficit is so choking off small business and medium businesses' ability to get capital and grow that it is having a harmful impact on people who are trying to get jobs. So it's something that we feel pretty passionate about, that we've got to get under control, not just to get the economy going, but to make sure that we don't have an economic national disaster here in the country.
Congressman, from my perspective, in looking what happened in the last election, a lot of people lost their jobs because voters thought that legislators weren't active enough at reducing deficits, the budget deficit, wherever they operate. Here in the state of Michigan, as you know, they're looking at almost a $2 billion deficit. But I get a sense of the urgency here and in Wisconsin, in Indiana, in Ohio. But as an outsider, I look at what's being talked about and discussed in Washington, D.C., and it looks like Congress as a whole and maybe even the Senate is not really taking this serious enough and maybe isn't listening to the voters who really want this problem attacked. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I mean, the government almost shut down over the fact that we were trying to cut spending. I don't know how much serious you can get about it. Luckily, we got $4 billion in cuts for 2 weeks. You know, we're going to end up cutting over $100 billion from the president's budget. We're going to get a budget next year. And that, remember, that's just for the budget that was passed last year when this Congress was not sitting, that pays for this year's activities. So we're cutting $100 billion from that. And then in 2012, you're going to see a very austere year. And that's when we, the newly elected Congress, impacts the budget coming up for the following year, not the year that they sit. I don't know, that may sound a little complicated, but this year has already been voted on and by last year's Congress and signed by the president. And this year, we're cutting this current year's spending, and we're setting out a budget that is very austere going into 12. And, you know, there's going to be some pains in there, and you're going to see people who are frustrated and concerned. But if I argue it is serious, I've been talking about it for a long time. If we don't get it under control, you know, we're going to have an economic disaster here. We're going to have a Greece or an Ireland where the debt is no longer sustainable, and we threaten the collapse of the government. So it's something we absolutely have to do, and I do think we're taking it very seriously.
So is that bill a done deal?
Well, that's just the continuing resolution. We're still negotiating the cuts. Now, there are some, and you say the Congress as a whole, there are some, including the Senate, who doesn't believe we should be cutting or dealing with the deficit in the way that we are. That's where the sticking point is, and the people who lost their jobs in the House of Representatives are filled with people who are very aggressive on cutting the deficit, like me. And so we've been pushing it from the House side. We've just got to get the Senate to pay attention and understand that there's some real problems out there in America, and we got to get a handle on it. So it was a short-term win for us. We got cuts, and the government didn't shut down. We're going to go another 2 weeks trying to negotiate more cuts, and we'll see what happens.
Healthcare seems to have died, even though the Senate the Congress has made it a big point of interest. Where are we now with healthcare? Is it just died in the Senate?
You mean trying to change it and get rid of it?
Correct.
Yeah, it did die in the Senate. They voted it down. So now we're trying to do a piecemeal approach with these new 1099 new regulations on business that cost jobs. We're getting rid of that today. We're pointing out, and I have a bill pretty soon that will allow every American to get a waiver. They've over 1,000 companies and corporations and unions have gotten waivers from having to follow the law, and which means our costs for the rest of us who are stuck in it are going to get to go up. So I argue if it's so good, you know, why are we doing all these waivers? So we're going to try to get everybody to have the opportunity to waiver out of this thing. And so you're going to see every week and every month us working to make sure that all the egregious things in here are addressed. And, you know, the weight of healthcare reform sounds great when you say it like that, but when you take the pieces of what this thing is apart, most the people overwhelmingly don't support it. And so if the Senate won't deal with it in one piece, we're going to make them deal with it piece by piece.
The expiration of the expanded trade adjustment assistance program would hit Michigan hard. There are 33,000 program participants. There's other programs which affects Michigan Works here in the city of Lansing. Where are we with that bill, Congressman?
Well, again, part of what they're talking about is us going after the budget. And we're at $1.6 trillion this year in deficit spending. $1.6 trillion. That's just the deficit. If we don't get a handle on this, we're never going to get people back to work. And we can borrow money from China to try to pay for a program we think gets somebody back to work, or we can stop borrowing money from China and allowing our own business community to get back up on its feet and start hiring people. And we've tried the other way with the president the last 2 years. Didn't work. We need to stop borrowing and spending so much money, and that's all part of it. So what they're talking about and what people are worried about is exactly this. And listen, there are some programs that do some good things out there, but we're going to have to seriously look at, can we afford to do it, and is it a life necessity event? That's how bad our budget is, and we're going to have to make those hard decisions, and these are the decisions that are coming out that I think are leaving people with some angst.
And talking about your cuts, you still want to keep funding for Amtrak and the National Labor Relations Board. Why?
Well, the amendment on the National Labor Relations Board was to eliminate it, and I just didn't think that was a good idea. I had supported reducing its budget already. And eliminating it, because that is a place for labor disputes, I thought was not a good idea. And it is the one mediation place that business and labor can hopefully work out their differences. So I just didn't think it was a good idea to eliminate it. I supported pretty big cuts in Amtrak, but again, that was an amendment to zero it out. And I don't think you can zero it out in 1 year. And that would have impacted the Eastern Corridor, which is the one place that is a sustainable track system, and of course we have some Amtrak in Michigan as well. So I've supported drastically reducing the budget, just not eliminating it overnight, and that's kind of where we're stood on it. So I felt it was important to to have some balance in the way we go about cutting this stuff.
You want the FCC to investigate Google data collection?
You know, Google collected some equivalent of 65 million. Emails and communications, private communications. They went on your server without you knowing it and collected all the information on your computer that you were using, and personal information as well. And it was kind of swept under the rug, but it was, I think it's an incredibly important issue to have these corporations that are involved in your communications gathering your data without any oversight. And we have plenty of oversight on the government side and almost zero on the private sector side. And I just thought we better get to the bottom of what they did with it, what are they doing with that information, and how they collected it.
All right, before we let you go, what new and hot are you working on that really hasn't been publicized much?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm trying to get these health care waivers taken care of so that even a small business can get a waiver. Right now, if you're not a big corporation, you're not considered in the queue, and we need everybody to try to get the opportunity to have those costs, burdens, taken off them so they can hire people. And the other thing is we're trying to get the administration to reengage in our energy debate. If we don't start allowing domestic exploration of oil in the short term, we are going to be in real trouble by summertime, $5 and $6 a gallon gas. So we're trying to get some common sense back in this debate about where we go on energy and how we promote alternatives. Great idea, but at the same time, you can't cut off oil production and expect gas prices to go down. As a matter of fact, they're only going up. It's killing the average commuter out there. So we're trying to get that taken care of.
Congressman, thanks for making time for us this morning.
Tony, thanks for having me. I always enjoy it.